One thing Bailey didn't mention is that I cried like she did when we met. I really did. It was a defining moment for me as well, because it's an opportunity for me, whenever I see a student who is absolutely sold out, knowing that they are built to go where they're supposed to go, and it's going to be a hard place, and they look at you, they're looking at you to ask, is it worth it? And I say, yes, you're built for it. And I get to cry over that as well. Those are moments that I get to be a part of and that I have transformed me. Tonight, I really want to talk to you about the why of campus ministry. Over the past few years, I've had the privilege of helping guide other campus ministries around the world through this process of figuring out not just what they need to do, but why they are doing it. And I've learned that this isn't easy. It is not as easy as it sounds. For example, some ministries are big, some are small. They all have unique languages, cultures, majors, and things like that to consider. And I was just visiting a ministry in Chile a few weeks ago where all the students live with their parents until the age of 25. It's complicated. But there's one campus ministry outside of this one that is really easy for me to assess their what and their why. Really easy. You see, I'm sending my oldest daughter off to college next fall. And a few weeks ago, the two of us made a school visit to Southeast Missouri State. It's kind of scary to walk that big, lonely campus that was 4 hours away. We passed in and out of the lecture halls that echo. We walked along sidewalks where no one looks you in the eyes. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It was lonely. And that experience has brought me more sympathy and compassion for you parents than ever before. You have so many concerns for your child's safety and their education and their relationships, but if you are like me, this really is simple. You care about their heart. That's it. Because you know that it's out of their heart that their entire life will flow. And suddenly, the what for that ministry that my daughter is going to is very clear. Press Jesus deep in her heart. That's what you do. And the why, it's equally as clear, because my daughter's precious. That's why. These are some words from Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them. Listen to that word. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. God's method of impressing hearts has always been the same. It takes intentional day-to-day time, investment for hearts to be molded. I know how big of a job it is to press Jesus into your children. You never feel like your job's done. And the more our kids personally are approaching college age, I feel the very real need of someone joining my efforts and joining my team. Somebody, please help me press Jesus deep into my children's hearts. For many of you, whether you prayed that prayer or not, this is exactly what this place has been for your child. A place that presses Jesus deep into your child's heart. We try to think of each student here as if they were our own. There is no way that our staff can possibly invest in all of these students, so we lean hard on student leaders. We depend on our students to be the ones to follow Deuteronomy 6, to intentionally press Jesus as they sit home or in their dorm, or when they walk along the road or to class, or when they lie down at night, even though it's 3 a.m., or when they get up afternoon. We have been pressing Jesus deep in the heart of students for a long time now. It is what we do, and the why is obvious, because each life like my daughters, is precious. Even if it's one. But over the years, we have seen our why, follow me now, we have seen our why for campus ministry grow. It is more involved. It is more complicated. And perhaps it will make more sense if we continue reading in Deuteronomy 6. When the Lord your God, this is to you students, brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of goods that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and oil groves that you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, you be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Students, you have been the beneficiaries of wells you did not dig, of vineyards you did not plant. One of our alums put it best, there is a stadium full of people. You think this room's big? There is a stadium full of people that have come before you, students over the last 20 years, that you are standing upon their shoulders. These wells you did not dig. But you are digging other wells. You are digging fresh wells for the next ones who will be standing upon your shoulders. And somehow your faithfulness will get passed on to the next generation. New endeavors like our elderly ministry, our sports outreach, our juvenile detention ministry are things that will be around for years to come. But perhaps our most significant addition this year was our story squad. You saw the story squad table as you came in, that wall. This team of students has collected over 1,000 stories from ISU students over the course of this year. On the missions front, we are now taking groups of students to minister to college students in Mexico, to girls caught in sex trafficking in Cambodia, and to children and students living in Kenyan slum, which was also a ministry started by one of our alums. And just when we think the why of our campus ministry has now been stretched to its fullest potential, we realize that these life-changed people are now actually going to be carriers of the gospel. They are leaders being sent, and our mission statement reads fully that we press Jesus deep in the heart of students so that the gospel takes root in every corner of the world. Is it coming alive for you tonight? Is that mission coming off the page for you tonight? Are you seeing some of the lives that are being changed tonight? Is it worth it? You got to see two of those stories through video tonight. And there are incredible stories out there and encouraging us all to be better and more intentional ourselves. We are hoping that we get everyone's email tonight so that you can continue to receive these stories. It is a new conviction of ours that we need to tell the stories well. God's doing too many good things here for us to hide them. Students, as you go off to your corner of the world, listen to these final words from Deuteronomy chapter 11. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. His majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs that he performed and the things that he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to the whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and to its chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea, it was not your children who saw, but it was your eyes who saw the great things the Lord has done. It was not your children or your kids. It's not your coworkers that you're going to go be with. It's not the kids in your classroom. They haven't seen it. It's not going to be the people that are in your neighborhood. They have not got to see what you have been able to see. And when you go to your corner, you can't take this with you. You can't be surprised when there are no wells waiting for you. You can't expect that the people you meet will have seen what you've seen. It was your own eyes that saw all these great things. But if you love the Lord, your God, keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always, then your heart will be changed. And the gospel will take root. And that is the greatest of whys. That's why we do it. That's why I'm up here after 20 years. Because you get to see fruit of things passed on. We do not have a bigger program year after year to help draw students in. It is not bigger, it is not better. We simply have an intentional idea of passing Jesus from one class to the next. In conclusion, let me say this, that I intentionally didn't list numbers and metrics of our weekly attendance, retreats, and baptisms. Not because we haven't grown in every single one of those areas, but because numbers don't always capture the why. The current fruit speaks for itself. Compared to 20 years ago, this ministry is bigger, God's reach is further, and the story is grander. But there is so much more to do. And we need people like you to help move us forward. We've been on your team. We'll continue to be on your team. And I'm asking you tonight to consider joining ours. To consider being a part of this grander vision, this grander why. Will you join us in our belief that the hope of tomorrow is on campus today? We need like-minded people who are willing to propel us forward, as I said before, and we're asking for three things tonight. Your email. We want to regularly give you updates of God's stories. Your prayers. I don't fully understand prayer, but I covet them. And number three, your financial gift. Monthly gifts, obviously, are huge for us. It's what we can count on. And we have these cards at the center of your table that are yellowish, and those are our ACH cards. Special gifts tonight will help to offset your meal, which costs us $17 per head. And just quite simply, at the center of each of your tables is a manila envelope, and there are a variety of cards that request those three things, your email, your prayers, and your financial gift. And as we end our night by singing a couple more songs, I'm asking that during this time you will fill that envelope up as much as you possibly can. The potential is too great and the students are too precious for us to consider anything less. Would you pray with me? God, I want to thank you for this amazing night. It's an amazing celebration of you. As Ben said earlier, this is not about encounter. It's about you. It's about your principles. It's about your ways. It's about the way you asked us to do this thing back in Deuteronomy. And that's what Jesus actually did as he walked around. It's what Jesus commanded us to do. And we just happen to have an opportunity to do it in a very real and intentional way at a place like this where there are no marriage problems or kids. And we get to invest intently into your people. We get to be people that invest into the hearts of these students. We get to join the team of these parents. And their why is very, very simple tonight, because their child is special. And their child is precious. Thank you for the precious commodities that we do have under our care, that we would not lose sight of that as we grow in our why of investing and changing the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.